Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Federal Reserve raises interest rates again and signals more hikes to come as it tries to bring down sky-high inflation.
We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses.
Is there an end in sight? And New York's Attorney General sues former President Donald Trump and his company for fraud. Plus, why restaurant staff are sounding a bit robotic. It's Wednesday, September 21st. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. It was expected, but the Federal Reserve says it's raising interest rates by 0.75 percentage point. It's the third time in a row the Fed lifted rates so much all at once. Chair Jerome Powell told reporters he expects more raises throughout the rest of the year.
Restoring price stability is essential to set the stage for achieving maximum employment and stable prices over the longer run. We will keep at it until we're confident the job is done.
Today's decision will raise the federal funds rate to between 3% and 3.25%, a level last seen in 2008, and Fed officials projected they would lift the rate by at least another 1.25% over the last two meetings of this year. Trading was volatile today. U.S. stocks were up throughout the morning, and then they swung back and forth following the Fed's news. Stocks ended the day sharply lower. The Dow lost more than 500 points, or 1.7%. The S&P 500 also fell 1.7%, and NASDAQ dropped 1.8%. Here's our markets reporter, Matt Grossman.
Investors are really trying to figure out, as they have for much of the last several months, what the Fed is going to do from here. We got the 0.75 percentage point interest rate increase that most investors were expecting. We also got a much more hawkish projection of where the Fed is going to take interest rates into next year. The question investors still have is whether the Fed is going to stick with that plan, whether any kind of economic weakness that emerges could instead have the Fed hold rates at a more moderate level or even reduce them at some point.
We'll have more on the Federal Reserve's interest rate moves later in the show. At the UN General Assembly today, President Biden condemned Russian President Vladimir Putin for the invasion of Ukraine.
Let us speak plainly. A permanent member of the United Nations Security Council invaded its neighbor, attempted to erase a sovereign state from the map. Russia has shamelessly violated the core tenets of the United Nations Charter.
Biden also blasted Putin for raising the threat of a nuclear response, for mobilizing reservists, and announcing votes to annex four regions in eastern Ukraine. Kyiv has recently gained ground with a counteroffensive. Biden said the U.S. would defend the U.N. Charter and said he would support adding permanent and non-permanent seats on the U.N.'s most powerful body, the Security Council. Russia has a permanent seat and veto power on the Security Council. New York Attorney General Letitia James has filed a civil fraud lawsuit against former President Donald Trump, his company, and its leadership.
The complaint demonstrates that Donald Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to unjustly enrich himself and to cheat the system, thereby cheating all of us.
The suit alleges that from at least 2011 through 2021, Trump and his company used his annual financial statements to induce banks to lend money to the Trump Organization on more favorable terms than they would have otherwise. The complaint seeks to cancel New York business certificates for companies owned by Trump, bar him and his company from buying commercial real estate for the next 5 years, and impose financial penalties of $250 million. Trump and the Trump Organization have denied wrongdoing. They've repeatedly tried to halt or delay the investigation. The Fed's aggressive interest rate hikes continue to put a damper on the housing market. The sales of existing U.S. homes and the prices of those properties fell in August compared to a month before, as mortgage rates keep climbing. The National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes dropped 0.4% in August from July to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.8 million. That's the weakest rate since May 2020, and it's down nearly 20% from a year before. Still, home supplies are below normal levels and prices remain high. The median existing home price was $389,500 in August. That's lower than this past June or July, but still far higher than the same time last year. Hiring plans for the upcoming holiday season could be another sign the economy is starting to cool off. Walmart says it plans to hire around 40,000 mostly seasonal workers and will offer current employees extra hours. But that's a whole lot less than last year, when Walmart was looking for about 150,000 permanent workers for the holidays and beyond. Walmart and many other retailers are cutting back as they deal with too much inventory, a lukewarm sales outlook, and strained profits. And General Mills, the maker of Cheerios and Betty Crocker cake mixes, says inflation is boosting their sales as more people eat at home. In an earnings call, General Mills said sales rose 4% to $4.72 billion in the last quarter, largely driven by higher prices. But the company says rising costs of things like raw materials, labor, freight, and fuel are set to drive up their costs by as much as 15% in its current fiscal year. The Department of Labor recently reported food prices in the U.S. rose 13.5% in August compared to a year before. Coming up, the Federal Reserve raises rates again. We'll talk about where the central bank thinks inflation is going and what moves it may take to stop it. That's all after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
The Federal Reserve approved its third consecutive interest rate raise of 75 basis points today. Chairman Jerome Powell told reporters that more hikes are likely on the way.
Over coming months, we will be looking for compelling evidence that inflation is moving down, consistent with inflation returning to 2%. We anticipate that ongoing increases in the target range for the federal funds rate will be appropriate.
Powell said the Fed made this decision because inflation has stayed high while a strong job market has kept wages up. Lots to unpack about what this means for the American economy in this moment and for the rest of the year. Joining me now to talk about it is Michael Derby, who covers the Fed for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Great. This was another big rate hike, the third 75 basis point hike in a row. How unusual is the situation we're in right now?
The situation we're in right now harkens back to about 40 years ago when we saw inflation also very high and the Federal Reserve embarking on an extremely aggressive campaign of interest rate rises to help lower price pressures. I mean, there's a lot that's different about the economy compared to 40 years ago. The Fed is a very different institution, but you know, we're in a situation right now where inflation is at levels we haven't seen in decades. And what the Fed said today and what Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said at his press conference is that if you can't get inflation under control, you basically cannot have a good economy in any other way. The price of high inflation weighs on people in such a heavy manner that the Fed has to get inflation under control, even if it causes some pain in other parts of the economy.
What did we hear from Powell about how long the Fed thinks this inflation will last and how much they'll have to raise the rates to clobber it?
The current Fed outlook for raising the federal funds rate, so we're now at between 3 and 3.25. They think the Fed funds rate's going to go up to somewhere around the middle of the 4% range by the end of this year, a touch higher in 2023 before officials have kind of penciled in a small lowering of rates in 2024. We're going to be at this for a while. This is not where we're at now is not ending anytime soon. We're going to be talking about this for quite a while.
A few months ago, Powell spoke about a soft landing, you know, the idea that the Fed policy could raise interest rates without causing a recession. And today, he had this to say about a soft landing. I wondered if you could interpret it.
The chances of a soft landing are likely to diminish to the extent that policy needs to be more restrictive or restrictive for longer. Nonetheless, we're committed to getting inflation back down to 2% because we think that a failure to restore price stability would mean far greater pain later on.
What he means by that is if the price of getting inflation back down towards the 2% target is a recession, that is a price the Federal Reserve is willing to pay right now. Getting inflation down is so primary for them. They don't think much good can happen in the economy with inflation at current levels, so they have to get inflation down. They don't want to cause pain, but they are willing to cause pain. Even their forecasts acknowledge they will create higher levels of unemployment from the monetary policy path that they currently have penciled in. So that's what they're willing to do to get price pressures back under control.
You were just talking about inflation, and Powell talked about how painful inflation is for American families and businesses, but these rate hikes also hit people. Could you explain who is affected by a change in rates and what this might mean, especially for things like mortgage rates, which hit above 6% on average last week?
Higher rate rises and the prospect that monetary policy will be tighter over time drives up mortgage borrowing costs. It drives up different types of loans you might face, you know, consumer loans. Those are the type of things that it raises. And so creates problems for housing in terms of housing prices. People have gotten pretty accustomed. Of course, this depends on where you stand in the process. But for homeowners, it's great to see prices surging. For people who want to buy, it's obviously problematic for home prices to rise, you know, at the rate that they've been rising. But monetary policy, tighter monetary policy will cause mortgage rates to rise and slow the housing market down and potentially either cool housing price increases or potentially even make housing prices like on aggregate go down.
What kind of reaction are we seeing from banks and other major decision makers in the financial world?
Well, things are just starting to dribble in as everyone sort of takes things on board, but I'm already seeing some banks that are upsizing their monetary policy expectations. Some people are thinking the Fed will raise rates more into the end of the year, and some people think that the Fed will also raise interest rates more over time. So that's where we're at now. I mean, it's a fluid process because the forecasts are still coming in, but that's what we're already starting to see, even in the immediate wake of Chair Powell's press conference.
That's Michael Derby, who covers the Federal Reserve for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, no worries. Thank you.
And finally, in a tight labor market, restaurants are struggling to hire and retain workers, and that's pushing companies to look for solutions. Enter artificial intelligence. Some casual dining restaurants and takeout joints, including big chains like McDonald's and Applebee's, have started diverting customer calls to voice bots. The AI takes care of reservations and takeout orders, and it's supposed to take the pressure off waitstaff. Our design reporter, Katie Dayton, says the bots have other advantages, too.
Robots are always polite. They're unfailingly polite. They have a script they can't diverge from. If someone calls up on a Friday night and the person that answers the phone in the pizza place is stressed and maybe not on their top customer service behavior, then that can really put customers off. So even though you might be getting more robotic service, it's a more reliable service.
Some voice bots can even detect if a customer is annoyed or confused, and then they'll direct them to a human being. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.